Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Look up 1 Chronicles 25:1. That way you'll know I'm telling you the truth. Well, are you ready to hear the Word of God? Are you ready to hear? How many of you would like to advance your faith from where you currently are? Wave your hand. You advance your faith from where you currently are, and you want to take, you want to forward faith. Amen. So everybody say forward faith.
Forward faith.
Forward faith. We can believe for yesterday things, but yesterday's gone, right? But we have someone, and I'm excited about hearing him this morning. He's an honorary elder here at Father's Vineyard. He's a Bible teacher here, and he's a Bible teacher in the community, and he's the founder of the South Mountain Christian Camp for 43 years, I think. So would you welcome with me Reverend Captain O.A. Fish. Video.
Hello?
You have a new mission. Go over to South Mountain Christian Camp and find out exactly what's been going on over there. Every time the kids come out of the program over there, they have a deeper passion in their faith and a hunger for God. This is something we would like to replicate in our other divisions. So, go over to South Mountain, take some pictures, get some footage, and find out exactly what's been going on over there.
Feeling frozen snow and you know that nobody knows. But you've got the fire, it's been there from the start. All it takes is a spark to ignite in the dark. Tonight you burn brighter than the LA street lights. The haters gonna hate, but you gon' speak life. Yeah, they gon' stick right. Christ, the only person that we wanna be like.
There is nothing that can take this light away. We are ablaze, yeah, with an eternal flame.
Let's go, let's go.
We got a fire in the rain.
Yeah.
Bet, excuse me, pray for my voice. Bet y'all didn't know we were a snake handling camp, did you? I think I better explain that. That snake was a pet snake. It belonged to one of our cabin directors this past year. So it got handled a lot with the kids and seemed to be a big hit. So praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. All the time. I was talking to Pastor a few weeks ago and was talking about, you know, testimonies, because testimony is a validation of the Word of God. And I want you to write this down. The works of God requires the Word of God. Isn't that true? The works of God require, the works of God requires the Word of God. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that didn't stop there. Then the Word became spirit and dwelt in us. Did you realize you are the living Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's a pretty deep truth, but it is true. And that's what I'm here to share this morning, just to share testimonies that validates the Word of God. South Mountain Christian Camp began with the Word of God. Back in the late 60s, wait just a minute, let me pray. Lord, give us that spirit of wisdom, revelation knowledge, and eyes of understanding so that we can comprehend this glorious inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 That's the prayer that Paul prayed after he had said that we're now seated in heavenly places and we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not will, have. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand. Just how many of you are born again of the Spirit of God? How many of you know what that really means? Do you really know what it means to be born again of the Spirit of God? It means that you were born one time. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And what is he saying? He said, you got to be born first. You're born of flesh with a human spirit. And then you become born again when you accept Christ in your life. And now your human spirit is no longer a human spirit. It's his spirit. You're born after his seed. And his spirit is a spirit of righteousness. And it's a seed of righteousness. And what do seeds of righteousness produce? Fruits of righteousness, right? That's why it's so important to understand. Why did Jesus have to come and die? See, God had been with man, but God wanted to be where? He wanted to be in man. But in order to do that, our heart, our innermost being, I'm not talking about the blood pump. You know, a tree has a heart, but don't have a blood pump, does it? But it has a heart. What does that mean? It's the innermost being, right? Our innermost being had to be sanctified and made righteous in order to be a suitable place for his Holy Spirit to come and dwell. God could not dwell in us until we're made righteous. And that's what happened. That's why the Bible says, with your heart, you what? You believe unto righteousness. That's exactly right. We're not talking about righteousness of the flesh. We're talking about the righteousness of the Spirit living within us. And the Christian life is all about the Holy Spirit living in us, manifesting himself to us, first of all, and then manifesting himself through us. And that's what the works of God is. The disciples asked Jesus, what must we do the works of God? And what did Jesus say? This is the work of God. You believe on him who he sent. It's simply that simple. The only time that you can ever live is in the present moment. Your past is past, right? Future is future. But the only time you can live is in the moment. And what God wants us to do is to develop a consciousness of his presence in us all the time, and he's full of surprises. You never know what he's going to do. All you are is transportation, if you will. I tell people, he first inspiration, I first perspiration. That's the relationship, you know? And I started telling you a while ago that back in the late 60s, I was in my 30s, later 30s, and had been in the Word for a long time. And I had not only been in the Word, but I had the Word had to be. I said, God, if it's not real, if you don't walk in my everyday life, it's not real. I've got to have a religion. That's all I knew back then, that works in my everyday life, you know. And so not only did I study the Bible, but I studied the testimonies of the saints of God and the giants of the faith. And one of those giants of the faith was Watchman Nee. And he was one of my great mentors. And he wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. And he said in there, he says, if a person will read the Bible through 100 times, before you can finish that task, God will have thrust you into a worldwide ministry. And I took him up on the challenge. So I started recording. And by this time, I'd probably read the New Testament through about 50 times or so. Now, that might sound like a lot. But it only takes 17 hours to read the New Testament. So it's pretty easy to read New Testament through every month. If you spend 35, 40 minutes just reading the New Testament, and I advise you to spend most of your time there. I'm not saying the Old Testament's not important, but the New Testament is the covenant we have with God now. Just learning all about this, Christ living in me, which is the hope of all glory. You know, Paul says he in Colossians 1, he gives a pedigree of Jesus. He said he created everything. He created everything in heaven. He created everything on earth. Then he became the head of the church. And then the mystery that's been hidden from the beginning of ages is what? This Christ in you, the hope of all glory. And that's what it is. So I sat in there reading my Bible. Before this time, God had supernaturally provided 87 acres of land over here in near Bostic. I bought it. I got it really, really cheap, you know. Thought I'd pulled off the deal of the century, and it was a place where I'd planned on retiring and living over there, you know. And I'm sitting minding my own business, reading Luke 18:16, where Jesus says, let the little children come unto me. Excuse me? For such as this belongs to the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, you know that land you got down in North Carolina really cheap? He said, I provided that land. And I've got a need for that land. That's when the vision of South Mountain Christian Camp was born, based on the Word of God. And from that time on, I became obedient. Not because I was qualified. I'd spent my life learning how to drive airplanes. That was my passion. People say, how did you get into this? I said, God tricked me. If I'd known the truth, I'd have been, you know, had Jonah got out of town on a boat, I'd have been getting out of town on a jet airplane. I had no idea that God was going to take this thing so far. What I thought he wanted me to do is go down there and clean out a spring and put in a Johnny house, you know, and put up some tents. And I thought that's what he meant, you know. And we did start that way. But then God just began to build. At one time, I was so overwhelmed, I tried to resign. And I told God, God, you've called me. I don't know how to do this, you know. And God said, good, now I got you out of the way. I can accomplish something. He said, I don't want you to build a camp. I want to build a camp, but I want to use you. And he told me right then, he said, you don't have to have expertise. He said, I got all the expertise I need. And he said, I will bring it together. I just need a catalyst, somebody that will listen to my voice and be willing to get out of the boat, so to speak, and let me work through you. And the miracles began. I'm telling you, it is absolutely amazing. Not because I had such great faith in everything. A lot of the miracles happened. My knees were knocking. So a lot of people think, well, it takes a lot of faith and all that. Well, it does take faith, but it's an abiding faith. It's a faith down in here. Never does Jesus tell you to believe with your mind, because this is always a state of confusion up here. He says, believe how? Believe with your heart. That's exactly right. The faith is down in here. Paul says, I no longer live, but it's now Christ living in me, and the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. It's not my faith, it's his faith working through me, producing results. And we could share, like I told the pastor, I said, just turn me loose and give me a time. You know, I don't see a clock, so I'll try to be obedient on time because I have enough. I can see it now. So if I go over, you people just realize I have to look this way to see. But I have enough miracles to fill a library, you know. Back in 1991, I published the book, Fingerprints of God, and I brought books today if you want to. There's a lot of testimonies in the book, Fingerprints of God. But I thank God the fingerprints didn't stop with the book. As a matter of fact, that was just the beginning. The miracles that have happened since then are just more numerous than I can count. But anyways, the books are back there. And also a little book called Discover New Horizons, which I carry in my pocket all the time because you never know when you're going to need to share with somebody what happened to them when they got saved. This little book is not only to show you how to get saved, but it tells you what happens to you after you get saved. And that's the most important part because getting saved is just the beginning of an adventure. And so that's the way it is with God. And this morning, I was just telling Pastor, just these miracles in the past are just scrolling through my mind. I said, God, hey, look, you're giving me enough stuff to fill 10 hours, you know. I only have a few minutes. So just lead me on what to share and so forth. And incidentally, I want to introduce three people that come with me today. David back here is our maintenance man now, and his friend Jessica. And David and Jessica are early in their journey with the Lord. So they need much prayer, but David's in one of the best places he could be there at the camp. My cousin Roger was the worst alcoholic I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he would be drunk for days and days, you know. God served him up and put him with me out there at the camp, and he became a, those of you that came to the camp years ago, you remember Roger and so forth, you know. Well, David's there with us now. And David and him is like so many people struggling with addictions and this type of thing that God is setting them free. Walking with God is a process. Even miracles of healing and so forth are usually a process. Now, God does things sometimes instantly. I had a good friend, Ray Millsap, who was instantly healed of melanoma cancer of the stomach on his deathbed. He was hemorrhaging out of his nose, his mouth, and his ears. And it was just moments away from entering into heaven. And Ray had been believing for his healing. When he was diagnosed with melanoma cancer, they told him he had 6 months to live. Well, he began to believe God. But he wasn't even a Christian until he got this news. And suddenly he was interested in God, you know. And he became a Christian. And God spared his life for a little over 2 years. But then he was at the end. Hadn't been able to eat any food for months because his stomach was gone. And his wife was just giving him some blackberry juice to try to give him some nutrients and all. And that night, Linda, his wife, took him to the hospital. And he said, Linda, I'm tired. I can't fight it anymore. I just want to go on and be with the Lord. And Linda took his hand and she knelt by the bed. And she said, Lord, if it'll bring you more glory to take him home, we're ready. We're at the end of our fight. She said, but if it will bring you more glory to heal him, then we're asking you to heal him. And then she was so exhausted, she went out to a day room to sleep, and she asked the nurses, please come and tell me when the end is there, because they didn't expect him to make it through the night. She wakes up the next morning, it's daylight. She was angry because they had not come to get her, and she rushed into the room where Ray was at, and he was sitting up in bed, and he said, Linda, I'm hungry. Totally, totally healed and restored. They sent Ray over to Emory University to do a full body x-ray scan. It showed nothing but some scar tissue from a previous operation. His healing is one of the most documented miracles in the history of medical history. I saw it on a documentary one day. I was watching it. He had seven doctors. Six of the doctors immediately agreed it was a miracle. The seventh one said it had to be something we did. You just can't please everybody, you know? But a lot of miracles are just progressive. I've had to fight physical things. I was diagnosed with degenerative heart disease when I was 54 years old, 54 and a half years old. My cardiologist gave me 5 years to live. Somebody says, what does he think now? I said, I don't know. He's not around to tell. But I was praying. I was asking God. I said, God, you know, the camp is young and all. And there's so much I want to do. Would you please, please heal me, you know? I found out God doesn't answer begging prayers. God responds to faith. You know what God told me? He said, look, I'm the spiritual head of that house. I'm not the janitor. What? He said, look, if you're not willing to take care of your body for your sake, how about taking care of it for my sake? I could use you around a little while longer. A lot of people, I heard a doctor one time give a testimony to a Full Gospel of Businessman. He said, you can eat anything you want and all, God will heal you. I said, man, we're not on the same line here somehow, you know. But God, to make a long story short, he showed me how to take care of my body and put me on not a diet, but a new lifestyle. And within a few years, my degenerative heart disease had been totally reversed. Now, I've gone through a lot of things. You know, three times that I say the devil tried to kill me, I carried a ruptured appendix around for 7 days. That'll kill most people, wouldn't it? God pulled me through. I rolled a mower. Brother was sharing a testimony about going over an embankment. Well, I rolled down a 45-foot embankment on a John Deere lawnmower. I literally could feel the bones in my face crushing. I could not only feel them, I could hear them crushing as that mower went over top of me. And we got to the bottom of this thing. We'd flipped about three times, and the verse of scripture that came to my mind. First thing I said, well, Jesus, I guess I'll see you in a minute. Then Romans 8:28 came to my mind. All things work together for good. Those who love God. I said, well, I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I thank you. And so I get to the bottom of the hill. I'm all blooded, you know, and I said, help, help. The wind was blowing really hard. There's nobody around anywhere close by, you know. And I realized that I'm bleeding profusely, and if I don't get out of there, I'm going to bleed to death. You know, I started to get up, but my hip, it was so injured and was so painful, I couldn't get up. I didn't know if it's broke or not, you know. And I sat there for a minute, and I said, God, with your help, I'm going to walk out of here. And so I got up, and I started walking. It was so painful, the first three or four steps. I thought I wasn't going to make it. And each step I took, I got just a little bit stronger with my leg and everything. I walked up and made it up to a road where a friend was coming by, and he stopped. And Judy Philbeck, that worked in our cafeteria, she was a responder, and I saw her go down the road. But she only lived about a mile away from the camp, and so I called Charlotte. He had a cell phone. I called Charlotte. She was at the cafeteria where everybody else was. And I said, "Look, I've been injured. You know, come on down. But first of all, call 911." And so she did, and Judy got the call, and her son was back there in just maybe 3 minutes, you know. And I was about to black out at that time with shock, so I told him, just lay me down in the road and elevate my feet, and I'll be back, because what happens is the blood goes out of your head when you go into shock, and that causes you to pass out. But if you can get blood back in your head, then, you know, so they laid me down and elevated my feet and so forth. But anyways, to make a long story short, I got 4 plates and 16 screws holding my face together. And another time was just a few years ago when God took me into the kingdom of darkness for a few years and showed me that Allah is Satan and that Islam is the beast of revelations. And in fact, Mecca, we're going to be studying that in our Bible study. Mecca, the word Mecca, you know what the word Mecca means? Mother. Mother of all cities. And what's a harlot called? Mystery Babylon? The mother of harlots. And so forth. So we're going to be studying that and so forth. God has shown me a lot of things and so forth in this last days, you know. But In the meantime, I'd had a heart attack. Thank you, Brother Terry, for coming down to visit me. Had open heart surgery. And when they were rolling me into the operating room, my last thought was, before I was put out, is, Jesus, I'm glad you're in this boat with me. As long as you're in this boat with me, it don't matter which shore we hit, everything's going to be all right. And so God chose to bring me through it and so forth. And it was quite a testimony. Oh, incident in that accident that I had with the lawnmower and so forth, I never had painkiller once. My surgeon, he told everybody about that. He said he has never had a painkiller through all of this. And it was, of course, they had to black me out. I'm not going to go into the details of how they fixed my face. It's kind of gruesome and so forth. But I came out of the heart attack, and I came back, and I was teaching the Bible study. All during this time, we were talking about the kingdom of darkness and so forth. And I told my Bible study class, I said, Satan's trying to kill me. I said, God is letting me in on something that is detrimental to Satan. He knows it, and I'm a prime target right now. And so after going through that, one day God said, okay, I've shown you the kingdom of darkness now. Now I want to show you the kingdom of God. I said, God, I know about the kingdom of God. He said, you don't know beans about the kingdom. He said, I'm going to show you the kingdom of God. And he said, I don't want you to ask me for healing anymore. He said, I just want you to seek my kingdom. Because what happens when you get the kingdom of God? All of these things are added unto you. So isn't the kingdom of God a higher thing to seek? It must be. Jesus said, seek it first, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. And immediately I started experiencing healing. Now, I'm going through a lot of things right now, you know. I've got congestive heart failure. I've had it for a number of years and so forth, you know. I have to maintain the body. It takes me 30 minutes every morning to do all my vitals and this type of thing. But that's my physical responsibility right now. I believe God for my healing, because all healing comes from God. I told my cardiologist just recently, I said, you know, Jesus is my primary physician. You're just a helper. He said, I buy that. But all healing comes from God. A lot of you are struggling with finances. Did you know your father owned the cattle on 1,000 hills? But not only that, he owns all the hills. So I'm looking at a very wealthy group of people out here right now. And yet you're struggling with poverty. Why? Why should Christians struggle with poverty when God has promised us that he would meet all of our needs? He'd look at the birds of the air, look at the lilies of the field. Are they in want? Of course not. God meets all their needs. Now, I've been growing in faith. You know, when we first started the camp, I was praying, God, send somebody to give me $1 million. God said, what if I send you 1 million people to give you $1? I said, oh, that'll work. And he told me, he said, look, the building of South Mountain Christian Camp, or the construction of the camp, is supposed to be just, or not supposed to be, it will be just as much of a ministry as the ministry of the camp itself. We have operated 43 years debt-free. And God will not let me go out and do fundraising. We just trust God. One of the camp managers called about a year ago and told Charlotte, said he wanted to come up and spend some time with me to find out how I went about fundraising. She said, you'd be surprised. We go to these Christian camp conferences all the time, you know, and they always have seminars on how to raise funds. And we were up at the Cove one time, and I kind of snuck in a little bit, a couple minutes late there for the seminar, you know, and I sat down. I'd never met the instructor before in my life, and he says, look, what I'm going to be teaching you, he said, I got to do a disclaimer before I start this class. He said, what I'm going to teach you is for everybody in here except for one person. That's O.A. Fish. He just walked in the back there. He says, now, if you have the faith he has, you don't need this seminar. But in case you don't have that faith, I'm going to show you how to do it man's way. I felt about that high, you know. Because the news gets around, it becomes a testimony how God does things. And I'd like to share one quick financial testimony. I'll start with this lady named Gail. She lives up near Hendersonville on 64 east of Hendersonville. Well, Gail had been gotten involved in our lives. Her whole family had. She had a granddaughter came to camp, got saved and all, and they'd read my book and so forth. And so we were, God just endeared them to us. And Gail was going through a problem, and she was almost suicidal. She was ready to have a nervous breakdown. She had some land up there. The farm that they used to have suddenly became worth a lot of money. Because if you've been on 64 east of Hendersonville, you know all the developments going on out there, you know. And so she had sold this tract of land to this company for $1 million to build some sort of building on it. And they turned around and said that there was something wrong with the deed, that they couldn't purchase it. Well, one of the largest realtors in Hendersonville was the one that sold it. They wanted their commission, even though the land had not actually sold. And so they were after her for this large sum of money. And so she would just, it just worried her to death. She hired a couple of lawyers, and the lawyers kind of sold out to this company and all. And so I was saying, Gail, God works all things together for good. You just have to keep trusting him and so forth, you know. And finally, after about a year of this, she called me up and she said, well, I finally think I've got a lawyer that I can trust. And says, we are going to be able to go to court on it, you know. Well, the realtor company, they decided they wanted to settle outside of court and so forth. I said if she would pay $25,000, which was a lot less than the commission would be, you know, that they would be willing to settle this thing and so forth. And so she was just greatly relieved, but she said, it's not fair, O.A., that I should have to pay the $25,000. I said, you're exactly right, Gail. I said, but leave it to God. Just, you know, pay the $25,000, get out from under this pressure, and leave it to God. And she said, okay, and she thanked me for just being with her through all of this time and so forth, you know. And so on Monday, I get a call from Gail. She said, well, oh, wait, you're right. God took care of it. I said, what happened? Did you get your $25,000 back? She said, better than that. You want to hear the rest of the story? She said, over the weekend I was praying and said there was another company that wanted to buy the land after this other deal fell through, but I couldn't sell it because it was tied up in the courts and so forth. So she thought, I will call this company and see if they are still interested. And she called them up and she said, are you still interested in that property now? We've got it all settled and everything. I said, we sure are. She said, well, you know, it's been almost 2 years since I made you that offer. And since then, the value has gone up. She said, I'm now asking $2 million. They said, we'll take it. Gail is a tither, and she had a ministry in New York that she was very interested in. So she decided to split the tithe between the camp and her. We have a lodge over at the camp called Pritchard Lodge. Pritchard was the name of her son. And so we ended up getting $125,000 tithe from that miracle. Doesn't God work in just mysterious ways? When many of you know that Charlotte and I don't take a salary from the camp because we truly live by faith. Yeah, we trust God. And a few years ago, our board of directors said, well, at least the camp should help with your insurance. And so we get free meals in the summertime and so forth. But God has just looked after us. And, of course, our needs are not all that great because our hobby and everything is tied up with the ministry. It's amazing how cheap you can live when you're just spending your whole time doing the things of God, you know. And he's just providing every step of the way. But in writing my book, the book was published in 1991. Can you believe that? A classic is any book that stays in print more than 10 years. Mine's been in print for over 25 years. And God has used that little book. And he also told me I was never to take a dime from that book. So when Broadman Press had the copyright, all the copyright went directly to the camp. I never saw it. It was just deposited into the camp and so forth. Then we got the copyright back, Faith Print and Jimmy Thompson. Many of you know we were associated with Dove Broadcasting for 28 years. Charlotte and I were, you know, and Jimmy on Faith Print. And so Faith Print prints those books for me. And Broadman Press was kind enough to send the plates over to them, so I didn't have to pay a startup charge on it. So we get the books very cheap. And so that is a ministry, giving the books away. People ask, is the book for sale? No, the books are not for sale. We give books away. But I put a little envelope in a bookmarker with a couple of key scriptures on it in the back of the book, and then I let people do whatever they want to do. And so now we've received donations from every state in the union, probably. And when the book first came out, my cousin was a member of a little Sunday school class down at a Baptist church in Charlotte. And he said, "Oh, would you personalize books for the 9 men that's in my Sunday school class?" I said, "Sure." So I did. And one of the guys' names was Herb. Herb owns a import-export company where it deals with plywood paneling and so forth. Herb was so taken back with the book, he called me up and said, "Oh, can you send me a case of those books?" So I sent him a case of books and so forth. And they said, "Do you ever need any plywood and paneling?" I said, "Well, you know, we do a lot of that at the camp, you know." He said, "Well, I got an outlet up in Marion there on Highway 221. My sister runs it. You just go up there and get what you need, pay her, and she'll send me the bill, and I'll reimburse the money." So all the plywood and paneling you see out there at South Mountain Christian Camp is donated by this Herb. Herb just donated us a $9,000 brand new Gator, John Deere Gator. Just got the pickup truck you see me drive sometimes, the big gold truck, came from Herb Epley. And I didn't mean to mention your last name, Herb, but he asked me not to. But just that one source, we figure has been worth close to $500,000 in contributions over the years and so forth. Out at Washburn's store, you can pick up copies of my book. For free. There's a couple books out there. One of them you buy, you get mine for free. And Brother Ed out there, he's quite a businessman. He said, "Oh, hey, how in the world can you give away your book like that?" I said, "You haven't learned the secret yet, Ed." I said, "These little books that you give away already have brought in thousands of dollars of contributions to the camp." "Oh, no way," he said. And so a lot of times I will take the letters that I get from people who pick up copies of the book from Washburn Store who become regular contributors to the camp, you know. So I showed him that one day, you know, and he said, "Well, don't you owe us a commission?" But it's just not money. It's not God's a healer and everything. But like I said, God supplies our needs, and he brings people into our lives. Another person I'd like to just mention his name is Sherman. Sherman MacArthur, MacArthur Landscape, and so we're sitting back here. You know why Sherman's here today? He brought me a container of weed killer. He keeps us supplied. He's just one of those angels in flesh that God has raised up. That I don't know how it happens. I just know that it does. You know, in Ephesians 3, it says, "And my God will do what? He will supply all you need, but he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even think, ask, or imagine." Now, just think about a God that does that. But there is a requirement. A lot of people quote that verse of Scripture and try to stand on it and claim it. But right before then, Paul prays a prayer that we will be strengthened by the Spirit in our inward man so that Christ can dwell in our heart richly by faith and thereby be able to comprehend the width, the breadth, the height, and the depth of God's love, which surpasses human knowledge, in order that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. That's who that promise is for. Those who walk with the Spirit and those who walk in his constant love. When you understand that God loves you, God wants to help you more than you want help. But you have to learn to trust him. You know, we talk about abominable sins, you know, the homosexuality and all. I like to hear the church, you know, get all up in a roar about all these abominable sins and so forth. You know what the most abominable sin against God is? Unbelief. Worry. Did you know worry is one of the greatest sins against God? Because what does worry say? What does anxiety say? "I can't trust you, Father. How would you like to, as an earthly father, how would you like it if your child didn't trust you? How would it make you feel? This is the way God is. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He wants us to walk in faith and trust in Him all the time. But the most important thing is to work on that relationship. Every relationship, if you have a strong relationship, you have to work at it. I've been married for over 60 years. You have to work at it. And the same thing is true with God. You develop that relationship. You get into His Word. Not to learn theology, just get to know your daddy. Know that He's good. And know how much He wants to help you. And know He is with you all the time, 24/7. The Holy Spirit is not a it. He's a person. He's the third Trinity of the Godhead. He lives in you, mind and all. 1 Corinthians 2, the last verse says, you have the mind of Christ. So I say, for Christ's sakes, use it. Wow, are you trying to figure out things with this little pea brain up here? You may think you're smart, but compared to omnipotent, almighty knowing, we're compared to nothing, right? He's there all the time for the asking. Did you ever lose something? You may have lost it, but Jesus knows where it is. Did you ever stop and ask Him? How many have had answers to prayer when you lost something and God showed you how hard it is? See? My first adventure in faith was believing God for a parking space. I talk about it in the book, and I get more response from that chapter than any other chapter in the book. I'm still believing God for my parking space. Learn to ask God about everything. Incorporate Him in everything that you do and talk to Him, for goodness sakes. You don't have to talk out loud. He lives in you. You communicate spirit to spirit. But see, your brain is designed to get its input from your five natural senses. The Holy Spirit is a sixth sense. You have to develop that relationship. You have to develop that channel of communications. But the more you put it into practice, the more you will grow in it. But it's something that you have to work at. Not work for, but you work at getting to know God, and then the works of God just automatically happen. God has thrust me into a worldwide ministry. I've been involved with the Voice of Hope radio station out of Lebanon. God has put me in a lot of places. I send a lot of books around the world. And he continually keeps me as an intercessor for these things. That's my biggest thing now is I intercede on these things. Jesus talked about the gates of hell not prevailing against the kingdom of God, the gospel. There in Matthew 16, our good friend Tommy Elkins is down in Cuba. You know why he's down in Cuba? Cuba is the gates of hell. It's one of the gates of hell. And God is storming these gates of hell in these last days. One of the most prominent gates of hell is Mosul. I follow the battle in Mosul every day and have been since the invasion back in 2014 when all the Christians were run out of there. But they found out recently, Pastor, some of the Christians hung on. And what God is doing, Mosul is the old Nineveh. Jesus said in the last days, in the judgment, Nineveh is going to rise up as a witness against this generation. He said, just as John was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth, the heart of the earth for 3 days. And he said, this men of Nineveh is going to raise up because at the preaching of Jonah, they all repented. And he says, a greater than Jonah is here. Right, this is a prophecy. Mosul, right now, Mosul's gone through. This is where all the Christians have been beheaded and everything. Let me tell you, no Christian dies in vain. No Christian is martyred in vain. The martyrs in heaven were crying out to God, how much longer? How much longer, O Lord? And he said, just a little while longer till some more of your brethren have been beheaded. Isn't that strange? Right now, I'm prophesying that Mosul is going to be one of the greatest I won't say revival, because what it's going to be, it's going to be a spiritual awakening. And Nineveh, which is in total shambles right now, is going to be rise up as a great witness, because, like I said, it's been one of the major gates of hell. And I'm just excited about it right now, because I know God's already showed me what he's going to do. There's a bunch of armies that are involved there to try to crush ISIS. And so I was asking God about 3 or 4 days ago, I said, God, who's going to be in charge of Mosul when the battle is finally won? You know what God told me? I am. He said, Nineveh is rising up as a witness in these last days. I'm telling you, to have the eyes of God to walk on this journey that I'm talking about is the most exciting adventure. I mean, everyone see those movies there? What's his name? The trying to find the lost ark. He don't know that this is the ark. This is the ark of the covenant. This is the ark. This is where Jesus dwells right now, in this ark right here. And going on that journey with him is the most exciting thing can ever happen. I do not have to worry about tomorrows. I don't know what tomorrows hold, but I know who I can trust with my tomorrows. And no matter what happens, God said he's working it for good. So if God's doing that, let's get rid of worry and anxiety and all that kind of stuff and just trust God, okay? Lord Jesus, God, take your word, cause it to bloom and sprout in our hearts and our minds. And God, may it bring forth much fruit in these last days, God. You're establishing a kingdom, Lord. And God, put it in the hearts of everyone here to want to be a part of it. Those, Lord, that have not made that initial step of reaching out and accepting you right now, just birth that faith in their heart that Jesus went and died on the cross and rose again for them, so that they could become a habitat for your Holy Spirit to come and live in them and do great things, or show great things to them and do great things through them. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say something else about your books.
Books are back here at the back at the information center if you want to get a copy.
Amen. Amen. Well, you did a great job today. Just a little bit fire hose worth trying to get through a straw. Amen. What we want to do is at the ushers, we want to take up an offering for OA and Charlotte and just bless them. We really do. They didn't ask for it. And this is his church. He's been coming here for years and years and years and sowing and serving. And we just want to be a blessing to him. So I'd like the praise team, if you guys can come up as well. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this man of God, strengthen him in his body and in his soul. Lord, his spirit's already yours and already complete. And Father, we just ask you now to use him and Miss Charlotte in a way that it will put them in another stage of being in awe of you, how you can answer the prayer and go well beyond their wildest dream, their wildest imagination. So, Father, thank you for this man. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for the word that he brings, and thank you for the gift he is to the body of Christ. Bless him. Bless his wife. Bless his children. May his household be completely blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Let's walk by faith. How about that? Let's do that. Amen. Father, bless the offering in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast.
If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.